The root of bitterness will grow an ugly flower you don't want in your garden. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life, getting you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness. And here's Steve Brown with God's Roadmap, the Bible. Here's Steve Brown with the teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. And I hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your pastor's sermon was as good as my pastor's sermon. If you have your Bible, keep it there. We're not going through a book study. We're going to return to our Old Testament survey after we finish talking about pain and suffering and how a Christian deals with it. This material, or at least a lot of it, is from my book, When Your Rope Breaks. It's published by Baker, and you can get it at your local bookstore or from Key Life. And incidentally, I don't get any of the royalties from this book, so I'm not hustling books. All the royalties go to Key Life. At any rate, while I'm not doing a verse-by-verse study, I will be referring to the Bible as we go along. In fact, I have wonderful ideas, better than yours. But God said I had to stick with what the Bible said on this broadcast, and so that's what we're doing. It's our practice on Monday before we go and study the book that we go before the throne. Let's do that. Father, we lift this week before you. We're glad that we belong to you. We're glad that you're in control of all circumstances, and we praise you that nothing happens to us ever that doesn't first pass through a nail-scarred hand. Sometimes, Father, it's hard to discern your love and to trace your hand, but we know you because you found us, because you loved us, because you accepted us, and because you'll never be angry. And so, Father, in the circumstances that you've ordained, keep us faithful, but keep us close to you. Heal and cleanse and change and empower. And, Father, we're not here because we're good. We're here because we're yours. We're better than we were, and we praise you for that. But we're not what we're going to be. Someday, Father, we're going to be just like your Son, and we're thankful for that promise. Father, we lift before you the broadcast this week on Key Life. As always, we pray for the one who teaches. Forgive him his sins, for they are many. They call him reverend, and he's not. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I introduced it last week. We're going to talk about it almost all this week, and maybe even into next week, as we talk about the problem of bitterness. Now, we've been talking about pain and suffering and what happens when a Christian's rope breaks, how difficult and painful that can be. We've talked about some of the means of grace that God gives us when we're called to go through very difficult times. But we've got to go down one more road, and it is a very important road. Have you ever known a Christian who's been through real pain and suffering, some really difficult times, and have turned bitter and angry and mean? Now, they belong to Jesus. They're probably saved, but they're the saved and the sour. And they make everybody else around them miserable. Let me tell you something. They make themselves more miserable than anybody else. And so this week, I want to talk about the danger of bitterness when we go through a very difficult time. And on the other hand, do you know those Christians who just have had everything go wrong, and every time you're around them, you feel like you're in the presence of Jesus? I remember an old sea captain's wife when I was a pastor on Cape Cod. They lived up on a hill overlooking Sesewit Harbor, where many of the clipper ships had been made. She was a lady who was missing a leg, had lost a child, had been through incredible pain. And on sunny days, she used to sit out in the front yard overlooking the harbor. And sometimes when I would drive down by the harbor, I would go up and sit down in the grass and just talk to her. And I tell you, I went there to comfort her because I knew her life was hard. I went there to make her feel better and to bring some of the power of the Holy Spirit that I had discovered in the Scriptures. I went there to be her pastor, but you know what happened? She became my pastor. She comforted me. The Holy Spirit was so tangible in her life that whenever you were around her, you felt like you had been with Jesus. Well, those are the ways, and we have the choice, either bitterness or blessing. And so we're going to be talking about this week. I think I gave you the scripture last week, Job 9, 14 through 18. Now you got to remember, Job was going through a whole bunch of really bad stuff. We love to quote Job's words, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." But he lied. I mean, as you read through Job, you begin to find out, you know, this guy is quite human in what he says. Case in point, Job 9, 14 through 18. "How then can I answer him," that is God, "and choose my words to reason with him? For though I were righteous, I could not answer him. I would beg for mercy of my judge if I called and he answered me. I would not believe that he was listening to my voice. For he crushes me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. He will not allow me to catch my breath. He fills me with bitterness." If you've ever been in Job's place, you know his problem. You're caught with no place to go for recourse. There's no court where you can plead your case. There's nothing you can do. You stand with your broken rope in your hand, and all you can do is hurt. You'd like to run away, to deny the reality you've known, but that simply isn't a viable alternative. Let me tell you something. That's the stuff of which bitterness is made. I suspect the first thing we ought to do, and maybe I did this last week, but it doesn't hurt to do it again, because I will be giving you a test on this material. We ought to do is to define the disease before we look for a cure. If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews 12:15. There you will find the writer of Hebrews says that you're not to allow a root of bitterness to spring up and to cause trouble in your life. Now, the words, "the root of bitterness," refers to Deuteronomy 29:18. "So that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood." Bitterness comes from our turning away from the true God. And it has tremendous social implications in our lives. Bitterness, characterized by feelings of hatred and envy and resentment and cynicism and severity, begins when one turns from God, and it results in the disease that infects everybody else. The question before the house, and I move the question, how does one avoid bitterness? Well, over the next few days, I want to talk to two kinds of people. First, I want to talk to those of you whose rope has not broken yet. To you, I would speak a word of preparation. And then I want to have some time with those of you whose rope has already broken, and it hurts really bad. Perhaps you are already dealing with bitterness. And to you, I want to speak a word of healing. Someone has said that life is the only school where you take the test and then you learn the lesson. Now, that sounds good, and in some cases, I suppose it's true, but it isn't the way God works with pain and suffering. You can learn the lessons about broken ropes before you take the test. And if you can learn the lessons, you can avoid the bitterness which often follows the test. Now, I'm going to give you three lessons that are hedges against the bane of bitterness and presuppose that you have a personal relationship with Christ. Now, if you're a pagan, you've been flipping across the dial and you heard this foghorn voice and you thought, well, he sounds sane, but he's saying weird things. Just go listen to rock music or something. Don't listen to this, because this isn't for you. I am assuming a personal relationship with Christ. And the first lesson you can learn before the exam is the lesson of prayer before the panic. Make sure your relationship with God is strong so that when the rope breaks, when you have to go through some really troubled waters, you will have built a foundation of faith. I call it being prayed up. Daniel's a great example of someone who was faithful to God both before and after a crisis. You remember old King Darius, at the instigation of his own stooges, plotted to get rid of Daniel. They figured that the best thing to do was to issue a proclamation which would require everyone in the kingdom to worship Darius. So these governors, and this is Daniel 6:6-7, so these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said to him thus, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, administrators, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now that was a masterful stroke of evil genius. The king was flattered. Daniel was doomed. And then Daniel 6:10, listen to these words now. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom from early days. So listen, if it's cool right now, pray. If things are fine and the sky is blue, pray, because when it turns cloudy, the prayers will make a difference. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have our Key Life catalog listing, I'd love to send it to you, and I'll do it free. It's ugly, and when you get it, you'll know why it's free. It's just a list of the stuff we've got in the warehouse. So if you need just that right gift, or you need the tape for a particular question you're having, you can pick up the phone and give us a call. As I said, it's free. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day. Or you can write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or in Canada, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. And ask for the catalog listing. We'll send it to you free. And if you'd like, ask to be a part of our Key Life tape family, where you get tapes regularly free. We'll send that to you, too. And when I say free, I really mean that, but that does not mean that I'll turn down a contribution. Man, this is an expensive ministry, and we don't have any slush funds. And I don't want to sound like I'm cajoling or pushing, but if you could help us even with a little bit, we would appreciate it very much. And for your contribution of any size, I'll send along as my thank you when you request it, the cassette teaching a New Year's examination. Hey, listen, I've got to go, except for one other thing. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.